Open the Word of God to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. This is, we'll be reading from the Sermon on the Mount. Some scholars believe that this was one sermon that was delivered by Jesus all at once. Others believe it's a collection of his teachings that have been assimilated together here. Doesn't matter. Jesus is trying to teach us. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 33. And this is the words of our Savior Jesus. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. As we opened our service today, we say it again. We invite you in. Speak in power and authority and transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've been watching the news this week, does the name Joe Paterno ring a bell? For the 1% of the planet that don't know who Joe Paterno is, plus my wife, I asked her this week, you know, you ever heard the name Joe Paterno? No. So, Cheryl, I'm sorry, I'm picking on you. Joe Paterno was 84 years old. He was the coach at Penn State University for over 40 years, was a coach for 60-some-odd years, a legend in Pennsylvania. Anybody from Pennsylvania here? Some Pennsylvania folks? Anybody Penn State fans? Bless your heart, Ed. Been a rough week, hasn't it? Joe Paterno, and I'm not here to get into the rights and the wrongs and all that stuff, but here basically what happened. There was an incident of 10 or 12 years ago where one of his assistant coaches was actually caught in the act of doing inappropriate things to a young boy in the shower. And they're still investigating, so the facts are still coming out. But basically, this was a young coach that saw this, went to Joe Paterno and told him what had happened. And Joe Paterno supposedly reported it to the president or someone in the university, and nothing basically ever came of it. And 10, 12 years later, this guy's still around and has not faced the law and so on and so forth. It ended up costing Joe Paterno his job. And then there were riots that broke out and so on and so forth. And this story was consuming the news all week, not just the sporting news, but the news. And the riots broke out. Students at the university are rioting, turning over media buses, big humongous news buses that were out in the parking lot. They're turning them over, and all sorts of mayhem is taking over at the university. It reminded me, I think it was about a year or so ago, there was a coach, Jim Tressel, and I'm probably not as familiar a name, but he was a coach at Ohio State, another high-profile football program. And the thing about that struck me about Jim Tressel, and again, I'm not passing judgment on right or wrong on any of this stuff. I'm just telling you what's happened. But Jim Tressel was a very vocal Christian, was very vocal about his faith, and conducted prayer prayer meetings and Bible studies and so forth with his staff and with players, and was very vocal. And things came to light that he had been turning his head to inappropriate behavior by his players that were receiving money for tattoos and whatnot and so on and so forth. And he was also forced out. Do you think it's important for us to be people of integrity? I mean, I'll be honest with you, right or wrong, I don't know what Jim Tressel knew, and I don't know what Joe Perrin, I don't know all the details. I'm not the investigator. But I tell you, especially in Jim Tressel's case, I'm not sure how Joe Paterno, if he professes a faith in Christ or not. But it saddened me a year ago when Jim Tressel, this very high-profile Christian, resigns or gets fired in disgrace. Jesus said, that's the title of our sermon today, just let your yes be yes. Just let your yes be yes. This scripture that it can be a little confusing as we look at this scripture. He's talking about that you've heard it said, don't break your oaths to God, but I tell you not to swear by heaven and then by earth and by Jerusalem and by your head and all these things. What was happening was the people of that day, they wanted to make sure that somebody knew, hey, I'm telling you the truth and I'm going to really do what I'm saying, they wouldn't say, I swear to Almighty God, but they would try to do things that would just stop short of saying that and still alluding to that's really what I'm saying, is that I swear to the greatest of all rulers, God himself. And so they would stop by saying, well, to heaven or to earth or to Jerusalem, because all those things were associated with God, and even our head, which basically makes us who we are, the ability to think, and it separates us from the other animals and so forth. And so they would make these oaths, they would swear, and they would stop just short of swearing to God himself. And Jesus was saying, stop it. Just stop it. Just let your life say it. Just let your life speak for itself. Just let your yes be yes. I want us to look at a few points here that I think are important as we look at this and we think about this scripture. Number one is Christ is calling his people to a life of integrity. Our life should be sufficient to back up our words. So as I'm talking through here today, I want you to reflect these things upon yourself and begin to ask yourself, is that me? Do I do that? Do I have a life of integrity? Does my yes mean yes? You know, the old saying, and I tried to figure out where this came from, but it seems to be somewhat anonymous. The old saying, a man's word is his bond. You ever heard, some of you guys that are my age and older, you've heard that. Man's word is his bond. Just let your yes be yes. There's no need to make all of these extravagant promises and all that. Let your life be one of integrity, and let your life reflect, and let people know that when you say it, you're going to do it. Is that you? When you say it, it's going to get done. When you make a commitment, it's going to happen. Second thing I want us to look at and see very clearly is that no is an acceptable answer. A life of integrity does not mean that just if the preacher asks you, and I'm treading on some thin ice here for myself, if the preacher asks you to do something, did you know that no is an acceptable answer? A few years ago, several years ago, in the church I grew up in, I was a young man. I was probably in my early 30s. That's young, Brandon. And I remember, and if you've been in this church for very long, you know that there's what's one topic that I hate to talk about. Say it again. Money. Jody knows. I don't like to talk about money because the last thing I want anyone to think about me is that all I want is your money. Because to be honest with you, I could care less about your money. But I also know that our wallet is attached to God. Did you know that? Our wallet is attached. That's another sermon. I'll go there some other time. But I was asked at this church to be the stewardship chairman. The one thing, I mean, I love to serve, and I was eager to serve and be in leadership in that church. This was before I was a pastor. And they come to me, and the one thing that I absolutely would rather have my head sewed to the carpet than to be was the stewardship chairman. And they came to me and said, Jeff, our nominations committee has met, and we've prayed about this, and we think that you'd be a good stewardship chairman. What do you think about that? Without hesitation, I said, I'll do it. Guess how much stewardship stuff happened that year? Zero. I didn't lift a finger. It wasn't an intentional thing. It was just the whole year I just dreaded. It's like, oh, I don't want to do this. Why did I say yes? So the whole year was a failure. Our stewardship program at that church was non-existent for that year. Jesus says, let your no be no. If you need to say no, say no. Third point. But when you say yes, church, follow through. Are we men and women of integrity? I mean, that's the question. That's the question. I'm gonna go here. It's kind of still raw for me. But Cheryl and I have built three houses over the years, and dealt with, and I know we've probably got some contractors in the room, and I'm not picking on anybody, but I'm just telling it like it is. And we built these houses, and you have to have a slab guy and a framer guy and a concrete guy and a painter and, you know, all of these plumber and electricians and all of those different types of subs to build a house. And I'll tell you, I don't know what it is, but I'll be there on Tuesday. And the thing I forgot to ask was, which Tuesday? Tuesday 2016? What Tuesday were you referring to? And you don't get phone calls. It's like, Mr. Hatcher, I'm sorry, I was supposed to be here on Tuesday, but man, I've got backed up on a job and it's going to be another extra week and I'm sorry. You don't get those kind of calls. They just don't show up. And so you're constantly in that line of work. I couldn't be a builder because, I just couldn't. It'd drive me crazy because you're just constantly having to call and ask, now when are you going to be there now? What are you going to do now? And are you going to do what you've told me that you'll do and so forth? Jesus says, and I'll tell you, and I have a challenge to you, if you're in that line of work, Christians, let your yes be yes. And even if you're not in that line of work, let your yes be yes. If you take it on, do your best to do it. Does your yes, if you'll follow along with me, Carlton, does your yes mean maybe? I don't know. Maybe your version of the Bible says simply let your yes be maybe. Mine doesn't say that. I don't know. Or does your yes mean probably? Does your yes mean sometimes? Does your yes mean if it's convenient? Does your yes mean if I feel like it? Or does Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, does your yes mean yes? We are, this is God's word. You've heard me quote this scripture before, but we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Now, I'm not suggesting that Christ is telling us that we should be perfect. But we should be, as His followers, as His ambassadors, we should be trustworthy. And if we take it on, we should do everything in our power to follow through. Because we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. If we have an appointment with the doctor, now they may not give us the same courtesy back, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't say, let your yes be yes if their yes is yes. If you have a doctor's appointment and you can't make it, you just call them and say, oh, something's come up, I can't make it. You don't just no-show. I mean, I know it's a little thing, and I know it sounds very trivial, but people are looking at us as Christ's ambassadors. If we're professing Christ, people are looking at us. They want to see, does that guy follow through? Does that guy follow through? How would this look if you were in a position where you hired employees? Billy and I were talking about a young man, and not in this church, a young man that just this past week, that he's a young guy and he's struggling, he's having trouble. Basically, he's on the street. But we're trying to help him. But he has to want to help himself as well. We're not just going to, hey, here's $500, you know, go blow it. We want to try to help him better himself and get off the street. And so Billy goes over and has this conversation with this young man, and he begins to ask him, well, have you tried? And there's no reason he can't have a job. He's healthy. He's smart. He can do it. And he said, well, have you got a job? Well, I was working at such and such, a fast food restaurant. I was working there, and the manager, they're really unreasonable. And he starts making all these excuses. And as Billy begins to inquire into the details of this, bottom line is he wasn't coming to work a lot. And when he came to work, he might be on time and he might not. And guess what happened? They fired him. Somehow, we don't understand that. And if you're an employer, you hire someone to come and work for you, what do you expect them to do? You expect them to be there when you ask them to be there and to do what you ask them to do, be there on time, basic stuff. And if we're not carrying that out as an employer, we can't use you. But as Christians in our walk, in our daily walk, if we want to be on time, we'll be on time. If we want to do what we're supposed to do, what we said we'd do, we'll do it. If we don't feel like it, we won't do it. We just, you know, what's God going to fire us? I mean, I think that's sometimes how we conduct ourselves. Fourth point. As always, Jesus is our perfect example of a life lived with integrity. I realize, church, that I'm probably stepping on toes. I'm stepping on my own toes this morning. But guess what? Sometimes we need our toes stepped on. Did you know that? Sometimes we need our toes stepped on. Jesus was trustworthy. I want you to, I'm going to step through very quickly, I'm going to step through some scripture where Jesus was trustworthy. And I want you to, as I'm reading through these scriptures, I want you to think about, what if he wasn't trustworthy? What if he was not a man of integrity that did what he said he was going to do? Where would we be? First one is in Matthew 20, and Jesus is leading up to his last time on this earth in Jerusalem, and he says, we are going up to Jerusalem, speaking to the disciples. The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and on the third day he will be raised from the dead. So he's basically saying, promising, even though this awaits me, I'm going to Jerusalem to face it. What if he wasn't a man of integrity? And then, as he's in the garden the night before he is to face what he just said he would face, and he's literally sweating drops of blood from the anxiety that he faces, he says this: Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. What if he wasn't a man of integrity? What if his yes didn't mean yes? And then as he's hanging on the cross and he's been brutalized and he's been nailed to this cross and he's hanging on the cross and he has each of us on his mind, he's taking those nails for us. He comes to the end of this journey, this end of this task that had laid before him, the task of our eternal salvation, of our redemption. That's the mission he's been on. He comes to the end of that journey and he says, it is finished. What if his yes didn't mean yes? Do you think he felt like taking those nails? I never thought about that, have we? Do you think that he had a warm and fuzzy feeling and that it was convenient? Like, I don't want to. You ever had those I don't want to feelings? I don't want to. I know I promised that person that I'd do that, but I don't want to. I bet Jesus had some I don't want to. But he says, it is finished. What I came to accomplish, I've carried it out. I'm a man of integrity. I'm a man with follow through. And he said, the resurrected Jesus says in Matthew 28, he says, the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus. He was crucified. He has risen just as he said. His yes meant yes. I'm going to suffer for you, and I'm going to rise on the third day. The man had follow through. He was a man of integrity. And we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. John 14, the resurrected Jesus is meeting with his disciples. And he says to them, they're sad because they know, and he's telling them that he's going away. They're so excited. They've just been elated because this Savior that they saw dead and buried is now alive, and they're sitting there and they're eating together and they're fellowshipping together. And he says this to them. He says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. I will not leave you as our orphans. I will come to you. He promised. And on Pentecost, his yes meant yes. He also said in Matthew 26, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One. I don't know if you believe that or not, but I believe it. Why? Because Jesus was a man that kept his word. Nowhere do we have where he said he would do something and he didn't do it. His yes meant yes. If he said that he's going to be sitting at the right hand of the Father, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He also said, you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. He will send his angels with a loud trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the heavens to the other. Do you believe it? Is Jesus trustworthy? How about us? I pray that we're convicted this morning. I don't know about this. I know it's a sensitive topic this morning, but I know that you guys do this in your own life. I do it as the pastor. When I have something that I absolutely have to rely on that this is going to get done, I start sorting in my mind, who's trustworthy? Who can I entrust this to? Do you do that? Your pastor does that. This is a tough question, but I wonder if you're on my Rolodex. If you're in the trustworthy or the not so much column. Where are you in other people's Rolodex? Which column are you in? And I don't mean to embarrass him, but Dennis back there? Dennis came and shared about the turkeys this morning. And I'll tell you, I have handled that for about 4 years. I've ordered the turkeys and I've orchestrated getting it lined out over at the Carver and all that. And last year I gave it to Dennis. And I'm still, Dennis, I'm trying to let go of it, brother. You're doing a great job. It's a process for me to learn to give. Dennis has shown himself to be trustworthy in that effort. He's done a great job in organizing that and getting it ready. And so, thank you, Dennis. And I want to know, where am I in your Rolodex? Maybe that's a good question, too. When you ask something of me, am I in the trustworthy column or the not so much column? I pray that I am in the trustworthy, and if I'm not, please let me know, because I want to correct it. You know, we come this morning to partake of this meal. And the night that he was betrayed and would soon be deserted, Jesus was trustworthy. And he said, this no longer is the meal of the Passover, but this is now the meal of the new covenant that I'm making with you. And he, in essence, and he may not have said it in exactly these words, but he was saying, my body will soon be broken for you. You can count on it. My yes means yes. And he took the cup and he said, this is now the blood of the new covenant. And my blood, which will be spilt for you, you can count on it. My yes means yes. Truth of the matter is, if we really are honest, we don't measure up to Christ's example. But that's our ideal. That's the mark before us that we strive for, is to be like Christ. So now let us spend just a minute confessing where we fall short, confessing our sins before a holy God. If you will do that in silence. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Our invitation comes from Christ himself. Christ himself invites us to his table. This is his table. It's not our table. It's not my table. It's not Wiley Methodist table. It's the Lord's table. And he has made the invitation. If you repent of your sins and you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are welcome at this table, and not only are you welcome, but you're encouraged by Jesus himself to come and partake. So if you have confessed your sins and you have confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're welcome. You do not have to be a member of our church. You are welcome to come. If you are a visitor today, you're also welcome to not come. That's up to you. If those who are serving in the praise team, the sound team will come. The invitation has been made. There will be there's four serving stations here. These three have the cup, the individual cup and the bread. You'll be given a piece of bread and you can dip it into the cup and partake in that manner. The altar rail is open. Over here on this side, we have the individual cups. If you would like to be served in that way, if you'll make your way to this down to this end.
Amen. your love for me. Sing amazed. Lord, I'm amazed by you.
Said, let your yes be yes and your no, no. And he also said that he loves us. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless.
Lord, I'm amazed.